Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, other than the opening day at Citi Field. But, you know, we'll dive into that momentarily. We'll talk about, you know, how the Mets and Yankees are doing so far this year. And how both franchises have had a role reversal of late. We'll also talk about the NCAA tournament. We'll also talk about, NBA, how the, you know, the Knicks are doing Mitchell Robinson-wise and what's going on with them and the latest rumor, you know, surrounding them and, Durant. And even, other stuff. I'll leave that, for you guys to check that out soon. And, of course, end the show off with a little WWE and preview WrestleMania. That's coming up this Sunday. So, most importantly, I want to hear from you. If you'd like to let your voice get heard, feel free to call in 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So, with that said, let's talk baseball here. And the Mets have been pretty good. They've been playing well. They've been road warriors. Like the Legion of Doom from WWE and WCW. They've been strong, nonstop. But now they came home earlier today, and they laid a big goose egg. It was a weird start, man. Today, Syndergaard, he only gave up one hit, but they were already trailing 1-0 before he gave up the home run. So Syndergaard gave up two home runs, or rather two runs. The Mets was both Mets and this and and the Nationals were being no hit, but Mets was trailing most of the day 1-0 because thanks to some errors and Syndergaard walking people in the second inning, he didn't have his best stuff, but he kind of settled down a little bit. But the damage was done because Robles hit a solo home run to make it clear. That basically put the icing on the cake because the Mets literally had no offense. I think they only had four hits all day. And, Wilson Ramos had, half the total with two. And the Mets, man, they were as great as they were on the road, in Washington, winning 2 out of 3. And, in Miami against the Marlins, sweeping the Marlins, their first game back home. They stunk up the joint, unfortunately. I know it's one game, but, this season, the Mets are, 5-2 now? But, man, Mickey Callaway, man, he's burning this bullpen out already. I know the Mets are 5-2, but as we unfortunately recall, the Mets was 11-1 before, everything went downhill. So, I think it's a huge concern with Mickey Callaway burning this bullpen by him misusing them these past two seasons. I mean, just the other day, they almost blew a game because they had Familia and Diaz not be available to pitch, so they had Justin Wilson, who's one of their setup lefty guys. They made him go two innings, and he he got hit up like a Christmas tree. But lucky for him, you know, all the line drives were hit at, I think, Davis, if I'm not mistaken, playing third. Like, there were line drives, you know, with the person, I think, on third, with nobody out, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right. Basically, they had the tying run, or probably the winning run at the plate, and the person hit into a double play to end the game. And Mickey Callaway, man, this bullpen is a lot better than it was last year, but him misusing them is really making them get lit up, man. It's something to worry about. I mean, there are a lot of positives with this Mets team. You know, Alonso hitting a home run, this past weekend. There's a lot of plus with the team. DeGrom yesterday striking out 14, hitting a home run, his second ever, dominating the Marlins. The career high was 14 strikeouts, and not to mention his quality start. He's had what was it, 25 straight quality starts in a row, which ties him with Bob Gibson. And then he keeps extending on his streak of 31 straight starts with, I think, going at least 7 innings and having 3 or less runs. So this guy, he's on another level, man. So congrats to him. But the starting pitching, other than DeGrom, has been shaky. Syndergaard, he hasn't looked like Syndergaard so far this year. Mats, you know, is Mats. You know, he's up and down. I'm trying to think. Wheeler didn't pitch that great. His one start. He's going to pitch on Saturday. And then afterwards, Vargas, the last game of the season, the last game of the Marlins season, I think. Well, not the Marlins. It was what team was he facing? Yeah, no, wait. Was it Marlins? I think he was facing Marlins. But yeah, they basically let that game away. You know, they were leading 5-0, and they almost blew that game. But they were able to hold on and sweep the Marlins. But all in all, the Mets, man, they've shown flashes. They've been good for the most part. But Mickey Callaway's moves for 2 seasons in a row has left me scratching my head. What's your thoughts on the Mets this far?
Just like I said last week, you know, pitching, they're going to have to be more consistent behind DeGrom. I mean, he can't be the only guy pitching well and carrying this team like he did last year. You know, Syndergaard, he's supposed to be the second guy behind DeGrom, and he's looked shaky so far, you know, in his first few starts. So he's definitely going to have to step it up. And the rest of the pitching, as far as the bullpen, overusing the bullpen too early on, you know, might cost the Mets later on in the season, you know. It could lead to injuries down the stretch. Also, guys, you know, suffering from fatigue down the stretch. So I think Callaway has to do a better job of managing the bullpen a little bit better before, you know, some of these guys get injured or tired. Or, you know, we're going to have to call up other guys from the minors to come in to pitch out a bullpen. So hopefully he doesn't, you know, overuse some of these guys too much, or else, you know, that's going to, you know, they're going to be punished for that later on in the season. But, the Mets, they're still 5-2, despite offensive inconsistencies and, you know, lackluster pitching other than from DeGrom. They're still 5-2, so you got to be happy about that. And you've done well so far on the road, you know, against the Nationals and Phillies, right? You guys play the Phillies also?
No, Marlins.
Marlins. Yeah. Right, right. So, you know, you got to continue to build on that. And you're only as good as the next day's starter. So hopefully Syndergaard was bad today, but hopefully the whoever pitches tomorrow will pitch you better and mess with the one. Saturday, okay. Well, you guys just finished the series?
No,
with
no,
the
no.
Nationals?
We have We have the day off because this was our home opener.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
So, yeah. We started the first six games on the road. So since this is our, you know, opening day, we have tomorrow off, and then we have what was it? I'm trying to think. Wheeler versus Corbin, or as I like to call him, Patrick Baron Corbin. And then, you know, on Sunday you have I'm trying to think who it is. Matt's probably versus who is he gonna face? Yeah, I'm gonna have to check who he's facing. I don't think it's Sergio. No, it's not Sergio. I'd have to look to see who Matt is facing on Sunday. But yeah, the Mets, they got a. And it's just one game, you know. For the most part, they've been tough. They've been in every game, even the game they lost to the Nationals off a walk off hit. I'm trying to think who homered. I don't think it was it Trey Turner? Could have been. I can't remember. But in any case, they just need to step up their game, and they desperately need to sign Keuchel, you know, and then just slide Vargas in, you know, into the pen, and that way you fix the pen, and you solidify the starting pitching. So
yeah,
I mean I think it would cure both situations, because supposedly the Mets are whatchamacallit, they're Mets are supposedly monitoring the situation. They're monitoring the situation, but
I hear Phillies now are in on trying to get Keuchel now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think he's, to be honest with you, I think he's definitely going to go either to Braves or Philadelphia. You know, that I think that's honestly, because they do need him for sure. Mets would be getting him. Yeah, I think he either go to Phillies or the Braves. But I believe when I see it, if he comes to the Mets, which I strongly doubt it. Plus, Boris doesn't have the best relationship with the Mets anyway. And then now that he has a former, you know, agent, potential rival, since they were both top agents, you know, in baseball, you know, maybe that could be another negative. Who knows? But yeah, we'll see what happens. But moving and shifting gears with the Yankees, and the Yankees, man, injury wise, it sounds like I'm reading a Yankee Mets script, because they have at least 10 guys on the DL. They got CC, they got Montgomery, they got Severino, Nick Freno, everybody. Everyone, but all seriousness, everybody is hurting on the Yankees, man. But they've played, they're playing a little bit better these past couple of games. They beat up the Orioles in Yankee Stadium South, aka Orioles Park at Camden Yards, or as I just call it, Camden Yards, like it used to be called. The Yankees offense, they found the antidote to their scoring problems, because they've lost a couple of games to Tigers, and they have a lot of injuries, so that definitely contributed to their slow start. I mean, what's your thoughts? I know you checked out a game Tuesday night, man. How was it?
Oh yeah, I went to the second game in the series against the Tigers, and we ended up losing that game. Offense, I mean, it's like we had a spring training lineup out there with all these guys injured. Right now we have 11 guys on the injury list. That's the most in the majors right now. You know, every other team has no more than 8, and we have 11. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, we just placed Troy Tulowitzki on the injured list, and we have Miguel Andujar, who might have possibly season an injury, or might have to spend time on the DL and just play with the injury and have surgery after the season, so they got to monitor him and see if he plays or not anytime this season. You got Stanton also on the injury list, Betances, Aaron Hicks. That's a lot of guys. I've never seen this many injuries early on with the Yankees ever. So if this continues, they're going to have to fire the strength and conditioning coach because something's not right, you know. But so we got a lot of guys that have been called up, like Clint Frazier, Stauchman. You know, they're filling in with some of the guys that are in injury list. And today they did manage to be. Yeah, Elijah. So those guys are going to need to step up. You know, the offense with the plays that they have right now, the offense hasn't been doing well. You know, they're striking out a lot right now. Judge, you know, he's fallen into bad habits of, you know, chasing pitches. He had a 4-strikeout game today for the second game of the season, or the second time this season. So, you know, he needs to step up and be that power judge that we all know and love. But today was Gleyber Day. Gleyber was the one that carried us. He had 2 home runs, went 4-for-4. I think he's the the youngest Yankee to go 4-for-4 in a game since Derek Jeter in 96, I think. So he pretty much carried us today. And I think Voit also had a home run. So right now we're 3-4. And I mean, we just need to keep the ship afloat until some of these other guys can come back and help this team, you know, try not to like fall any deeper in the standings. But the good thing is it's still early on and the Red Sox are 2-6. So they're worse than us right now. So it's still early, you know, don't push the panic button yet. So we just got to continue to, you know, just play better and stay afloat, you know, and wait till these other guys come back.
I hear you. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it's the spring training lineup out there because all the guys are practically hurt. Stanton's hurt. I mean, everybody is hurt on this team. So basically, it's just follow the Mets script, you know. Just play with what you have and, you know, when those guys finally get healthy, it's like getting a – you know, mid-season acquisition. So
pretty much.
And then, of course, you know, Yankees are always going to make moves like signing Gonzalez recently. So,
yeah.
It's too early to hit the panic button, like you said. So,
yeah. You know, it's got 100 and something games left. So, it's a long season.
Yep. No doubt about that. And switching gears to, unlike you said, there's plenty of season left for the Yankees. A beloved team that we both have, the Knicks, their season has been long done. But the only bright spot of the Knicks is Mitchell Robinson. I mean, this guy, he's been – I think he has like 29 straight games where he has at least 2 blocks a game. And, I mean, this guy is a building block to –
He's
literally a phenom. Like this dude is the equivalent of Undertaker in 1990, man. He's just a tall, imposing figure.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, sending his opponents to rest in peace, you know. I mean, this guy, he's dominant, man, at such a young age. And, you know, under DeAndre Jordan's tutelage and, you know, other big men in the, you know, from the Knicks past, like Camby and Willis Reed giving him advice here and there and coaching him. I mean, this guy, he has a bright future.
He definitely does, yeah. And I got to say something about the Knicks. You know, I was mad when they traded away Porzingis, but after hearing rumors that the Knicks were aware of this extortion case with Porzingis, and they were also aware of Hardaway's injury when they decided to trade the Mavericks, starting to feel a little better about that trade. Looks like we may have won that trade after all.
Yeah. Well, they'll definitely run this trade if they can, if the rumors is true about you know, Durant coming here, because the most recent rumor is that it's a done deal that they're gonna come, and you know, if he comes, Kyrie Irving is gonna come with him. But you know, like we've been saying for the past year, at least this past year or so, you know, we'll believe it when we see it. So, you know, we'll definitely find out in July 1st when they're able to sign.
Yeah.
You know. And also looking to the Knicks' future, you know, Duke was eliminated. So the potential Knicks, you know, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, you know, those their collegiate career is over. So we'll find out in the draft, you know, in June, if Knicks will finally get those lucky ping pong balls, which they haven't won since the Ewing draft.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. And now the Final Four is gonna go down in a few days on the 6th. You have Michigan State versus Texas Tech, and then you got Virginia versus Auburn. Who you think's gonna take it?
Well, I mean, Duke was my favorite pick, but you know, I thought it was good. I thought it'd be Duke and Virginia in the championship game, but since Duke is limited, I gotta go with Virginia. You know, Virginia, I think, is right now the best team in the nation, and they've only had how many losses? I think they only have 2 or 3 losses this year. You know, so they've been playing really well. I don't think any team could beat them right now, so I'm going to stick with Virginia to win it all. 33-3 is their record right now.
Yep, 33-3, and they're 6-2 in the ACC. So, yeah, they definitely look like the favorites right now. With Duke out for sure. And then the finals is going to be on the 8th. So Virginia will be battling most likely Michigan State, and I'll get that victory.
Should be good.
Absolutely. But, yeah, let's shift gears to the WWE big pay-per-view event, WrestleMania 35.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of. I mean,
you read my mind.
You know,
There's some matches that are like, okay, yeah, I really want to see this. And most of these matches are like, I could watch these matches on Raw and SmackDown following week. But, I'm with you.
I mean, it's not as exciting as some of the other WrestleManias in the past. But, you know, there's some matches I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan. Looking forward to seeing... what was the other match I was thinking of? The Triple Threat.
Triple Threat women's match.
Right. You know, so there's
Kofi,
some matches.
Kofi
Daniel. Kofi
versus, Daniel Bryan. AJ versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, that's really about it. I mean, Triple H and Batista won, you know, it should be a good match. Well, I mean, we all know what's going to how that match is going to end, which we'll dive into that momentarily as we start this preview. So here it is so far, the matches that are predicted, because, you know, as they say, things can change. The card is subject to change, but as of right now, here's what the card is. The Revival, Dash Wilder, and Scott Dawson versus the former Edgeheads.
Wait, what was that?
The Revival is versus Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, actually, that match should be good.
This is a new match they just announced, I think, today. So, this is going to be a good match, too. And Kurt Hawkins, 200-plus losing streak, I think it's lasted, 2 years. span of 2 years, it's on the line. And if they win, him and Zack Ryder becomes tag team champions.
Right.
Yeah, I think they were tag team champions back in the days because they were, you know, they were, of course, Edge heads. And then afterwards, well, before that, I think they were, what were they called? They called Mega Busters or something? I'm trying to think of the name of their tag team because I knew them as Edge heads. But I think when they were like in FCW, they were called, they became Edge heads when they formed a faction with Edge. Let's see, what's the name of the group again?
Edge heads.
Mega Busters.
It's a funny name.
I'm trying to think of the name of that group. I think it was called Mega Busters. Let me see, what was it called? Can I find it?
The Rated R Entourage.
No, they were part of the Edgeheads.
Yeah, I know that.
But before they
nicknamed the Rated R Entourage.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But I think before they debuted as the Edgeheads, they were a tag team in the FCW. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, because I'm reading here. They're nicknamed the Rated R Entourage, and of course the Edgeheads. They debuted in 2007 on WWE's main roster.
Oh, Major Brothers. That's what it is. That's the name.
Oh, Brian and Brett Major. Yeah.
Major Brothers. I thought it was Mega Brothers. I don't think of Superpowers or the Mega Powers or something. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, that there it is. My prediction is that the streak is gonna end at WrestleMania where it should have, instead of a random Raw or SmackDown or a Superstar match. This is the perfect place for it to end, you know, and then start a feud with the Revival. You know, I think this is WrestleMania is a perfect place for it to end. And yeah, he's a local guy too, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
Oh yeah.
They're both Mets fans. You know, they're both from like Long Island. You know, Long Island's right not too far away from New Jersey, and of course, you know, they're pretending like WrestleMania at the Meadowlands is New York, because that's the closest thing we're going to have to WrestleMania in New York since they don't do MSG anymore. So, yeah, I mean, this is the perfect place, but, you know, WWE, they love to make the hometown hero lose at home. But I think I'm going to go against my brain. I'm going to go against my brain because WWE likes to make hometown heroes lose at home. I think Kurt Hawkins will have his streak end at the grandest stage of them all and join his former tag team brother, Zack Ryder, as the new WWE Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, I think Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder are going to win it. I have a feeling. I'm going to go with them as well. Hello?
And next, they got Usos, Jay and Jimmy versus Ricochet, Aleister Black versus The Bar, which is, of course, Cesaro and Sheamus, versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev. I think Ricochet and Aleister Black are going to win. You know, those guys were great singles guys in NXT, and ever since they've been called up to WWE, you know, they've been a formidable tag team. So this is their time to win the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. What do you think?
I think the Usos are going to retain it. Don't see any...
I can see that possibility.
I don't have faith in those other teams. I think Usos, they're going to retain the titles.
Yeah, that'd be my second game. But yeah, I could see that happening, but I think they're going to put the titles on. I could see it happening. I could see Usos retaining, but I'm going to go out on a limb and see Ricochet and Aleister Black win.
Yeah.
But you might have a point there because they can't have. I mean, then again, Usos are good guys too. But yeah, I guess I could see. I'm gonna stick with my pick: Ricochet, Aleister Black. Now you got the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale. I think Asuka's gonna win.
Yeah, I'd go Asuka too because they screwed her out of that title, losing it to Charlotte Flair. So they better reward her by having her win this Battle Royale.
Meaningless Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So all these Battle Royales are meaningless. If it's not the Royal Rumble, they're meaningless.
Yeah.
Even though they did kind of mess with Becky, even though she did win the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble, and then she had to compete again to qualify again. But WWE writing. But, all right, let's move on to the Boston Hug Connection. Of course, you got Bayley and Sasha. Versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya, the Iconics, which is, of course, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce versus Nia Jax and Tamina. What can I see happen? You know, I think they're going to surprise people and make the Iconics win. Some crazy way. You know what I mean? Like, they want you to think the Boston Hogs are gonna retain it since they're the good, they're the you know they're the main heroes in this story, in this match. Of course, you got Beth Phoenix, who's a legend, and Natalya, who are faces as well. The Iconics are the least likely people you'd think would win because they're just they talk smack, they play around, they're not like imposing figures like Nia Jax and Tamina. But I think somehow, some way, the Iconics are going to come out with the title.
I thought originally Iconics were going to become the first, women's tag team champions. But I don't know. I don't see Sasha Banks and Bayley losing it to any of those teams. I think there'll be a moment there where you think Natalya and Beth Phoenix might win it, but
yeah.
I think they're going to retain the titles for now.
I could see that happening. I mean, they did win not too long ago, and they want us to think Beth Phoenix and Natalya is going to win because, Beth is a legend, But I don't think she's going to get that win, that surprising win, the veteran win, winning a title after, how many years of, probably a decade of hiatus.
Yeah.
Did she compete in the Royal Rumble?
Beth Phoenix?
The Women's Royal Rumble, like, from last year.
I think she commentated, maybe. Might have been.
I don't know if she, I'd have to check that out. Let me see quickly. She did. She did compete in the.
I think she did.
No. Looks like she just commentated, but I'm gonna have to look into that to dive into that. But moving along. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Both talented guys, but I really don't care about this feud. I'd rather see Dean Ambrose fight Drew McIntyre since they're the ones that clearly have a feud. But Roman Reigns is gonna win. Well, I mean, what else?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Roman Reigns, he just came back. This will be his first major individual match since he's come back, and I don't see him losing it. So I'm going to go Roman Reigns as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Bobby Lashley versus The Demon, Finn Balor. The Demon King, Finn Balor. Finn Balor as a demon. I mean, when was the last time he lost a match as a demon? I mean, he hasn't been the demon in a long time anyway, the Demon King for a long time. And I mean, him and Bobby Lashley has been treating the titles back and forth, back and forth. But with him going to the demon, you know, his demon persona, you know, he's definitely going to win this match. And
so, yeah, I don't see the Demon King losing, you know, so I see the Devil winning this the Intercontinental Championship.
And then you got Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. Even though I heard Rey Mysterio's hurt, so this match might be in jeopardy. This is a singles match for the United States Champion. I could see Rey Mysterio winning all the time, but I think 99% of the chance I would say Rey would win, but maybe I think Samoa Joe will retain it. Even though I'm gonna probably been kicking myself like, come on man, when does Rey Mysterio ever lose these type of matches? But I'm gonna kick myself, but I'll say Samoa Joe retains.
Yeah, I mean this match could go either way, but I'm leaning towards Samoa retaining it. I'm gonna go with Samoa.
Yeah, if this was Samoa Joe against anybody else with the exception of John Cena or Roman Reigns or somebody like that, you got to pick some. It would be a slam dunk for you to pick Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
But Rey Mysterio, you know, he always finds a way to have an underdog upset victory out of nowhere. So I wouldn't be surprised either way. Then you got the Andre the Giant's Battle Memorial, which also has SNL's Colin Joyce, which is your homegirl, Scarlett Johansson's fiance, apparently, or boyfriend. And of course, Michael Che, his SNL sidekick. Of course, Braun Strowman, who I picked to win, obviously, this meaningless battle royale. Well, who you think is going to win?
Wow. I mean, right now, I'd probably go with Braun Strowman, but also, you know, is this guy Lars Sullivan ever going to come to wrestle?
I don't know. Is he even
supposedly going to be in this? I think he's going to be in this Battle Royal.
I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, if he does come, maybe they could make him surprise and beat. It could be down to him and Lars, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But I wouldn't be surprised if Colin Jones wins it. And, you know, if WWE does that, then this would be dumber than WCW crowning, what's his name as the champion?
David Arquette.
David Arquette.
Well, at least that's not a WWE title. I mean, at least it's not the championship. This is a meaningless memorial trophy.
True.
Battle Royale. I mean,
true.
It's good they are honoring legends, you know, like Andre the Giant, obviously. And, you know. But
didn't Braun Strowman win it last year or the year before?
He won the Greatest Royal Rumble one.
The Greatest.
I don't think he's ever won. I don't think he's won a battle royale. Because Big Show won. And Baron Corbin won.
Right.
And, I guess we'll go to Corbin versus Kurt Angle. I don't think Kurt Angle is going to fight Corbin. I think he's going to face Cena. But in any case, whoever he faces, he's going to lose. Kurt Angle's going to lose because, you know, WWE loves to have heroes, veteran guys on their last match lose and pass the torch to whoever they face. So I think he's going to lose anyway, even if it's John Cena, even though John Cena is not a veteran. I mean, he's not a rookie, but, you know, John Cena's first match was, of course, against Kurt Angle, and John Cena fought a courageous match, but he lost. And I guess Kurt Angle's going to do him the favors, if that's the case.
Yeah, well, if it is Angle versus Corbin, Angle's going to win, of course. But if it's not, then, you know, I could see maybe The Undertaker coming out challenging Angle. Maybe that could be a good matchup right there. So who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gotta. This show is about to end quickly. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Caught up on me. So, yeah, I think Orton will beat AJ Styles. Batista will lose to Triple H because Triple H never lost to, never beat him in a first round matchup. I mean, one on one matchup. Buddy Murphy will retain. Becky will unite, will win the titles as she should, even though I'm scared Charlotte might win. And then, let me see. Daniel Bryan will finally beat, will lose to Seth Rollins, will defeat Brock Lesnar. So, anything you'd like to say quickly?
Yeah, check out my post-show WrestleMania/ Hall of Fame review on Sunday night and come back here. Check out Sports of Legend every Saturdays at 11 at its original time.
You heard the guy. I'll give you my in-depth review next time. He's McCauley Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys.